All right. Hey, hey guys. Welcome. I'm doing this kind of fast today. I say that it probably won't be fast, but I'm going to try to go fast because I've got to get my daughter here in a little bit. So I'm going to have to take off. But there's so much going on that I felt like I needed to come on. I know I'm trying to come on once a week. Next week, I cannot come on. I got too much going on. I've got we're removing popcorn ceiling in our house. So it's just going to be, and I have to do that. Well, you know, get prepped for it. So, and I have removed popcorn ceiling. I don't know if you guys have before, but it's the most miserable possible way to spend, any part of your life is removing popcorn ceiling. So, I've done that, but now I'm having people help us out, but I have to get everything prepped for it. So it's just, hello. Hello, Isaac, Alexandra. I like the name Alexandra. Bill, Gary, what's up? Get in here, guys. I think I'm live, I don't know, on Periscope, maybe YouTube, but I'm not seeing any. I'm just seeing Facebook right now. So hello, Facebook. How's it going? Welcome, welcome. If you're on YouTube, say hey. Hey from Georgia. Leah, what's up? Gino. Okay, Gino's on here from YouTube. Hey, Gino, what's going on? What's up? Okay, lots to talk about. Lots going on. I'm going to try to make this kind of quick. I was going to show you guys a video that I did. I didn't post it live on Facebook because Facebook's just Facebook. But it's on my Rumble channel. So go over to Rumble. It just kind of, and Twitter. I did it on Twitter too. So, hey, what's up if you're on Twitter? I see someone from Twitter. Trimix Diver. Hello. So I posted it on Twitter and MeWe, Rumble, but Facebook, just the link. So it's just kind of, you know, hey, all hell is breaking loose right now, but at least we don't have the mean tweets, right? I mean, that's basically what it's about. We've got inflation, we've got unemployment, we've got people, trying to find people to work and they can't find people to work. We've got, you know, thousands and thousands of children without their parents at the border, being put in storage containers, because that's, you know, a better word than cages, according to the Biden administration. What else do we have? Drugs pouring into our country, human trafficking, civil unrest, housing prices are up, cyber attacks on our oil pipelines. It's just, it's glorious. It's a socialist communist dream. I mean, if you're a socialist or communist right now, you are just yes. Because a lot of people think that the left is upset at this. And I have to disagree. I don't think the left is upset at all. This is exactly going as planned. Because you cannot have a thriving, independent, liberty-loving country under socialism and communism. You have to literally eliminate the middle class. You have to make people dependent on government. And this is the direction we're heading. They might act upset, or, you know, the moderate left, you know, there's no moderate left. But if you're a ignorant left, if you're somebody that's like, the left doesn't want socialism or communism. We just want to jump out of office. If that's the left that you're standing in over there, that little circle, you probably don't know that this is all going to plan, okay? Biden probably doesn't even know this is going to plan. But if you're a globalist, you know, if you're part of the World Economic Forum, you're like, yes, this is awesome. So let's talk about some of the stuff. The unemployment numbers came out last week. 266,000 jobs were added. They were expecting 1 million. Didn't happen. Why? Because socialism and communism doesn't work. Okay. Doesn't work. Fails every single time. And we got 14 million people saying that they want to work, but they can't find a job. We have employers saying, hey, we're trying to find people to work and no one will come interview. They're actually like giving people incentives to interview. They're like, hey, we'll give you a $1,500 bonus if you sign now. We'll give you $50 if you just come and interview for this job. Like, they can't find people to work. This doesn't destroy Amazon. Let's just be clear. This doesn't hurt Walmart. This doesn't hurt Target. This doesn't hurt the big box stores. This hurts the mom and pop stores. Why do they want to hurt the mom and pop stores? Because you have to eliminate the middle class. You have to wipe it out completely. So this is going to plan, right? This is exactly going to plan because if you, why would you go work? Like if you're just a bum, why would you go work if the government is paying you more to stay home? Like you're just, you're going to sit on your couch and eat Cheetos and not go to work, right? That's what's happening right now. People are on unemployment. They're taking money from the government and they're basically being paid to stay home. The people that are like, yeah, I'm going to go work, but it's kind of a toss up here because I can make, you know, about $10 an hour staying home and doing nothing, or I can make $15 an hour working. I'll try to work. I'll see how it goes. So they go to work and employers are now finding that they cannot pay these people enough to keep them, right? So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is like, yay, this is wonderful. Not knowing that this wipes out the small business owner. Because the small business owner is like, I can't do this. I can't pay $20 an hour. I just can't afford to do that. So they go under, right? But Walmart, Target, Amazon, they're like, we can make that work. So they're doing fine, right? They're doing fine. They'll raise their prices and pretty soon you'll just have Walmart, Amazon. That's it. Okay. Cause the goal, and those are the elitists, right? Those are the elitists. You think Jeff Bezos is like really twiddling his thumbs right now, frustrated at possible inflation or having to pay employees more? No, he doesn't care at all. Okay. This wipes out the middle class. This is the goal. The goal is to get everybody dependent upon the government, right? This is what they want. And this is what we're seeing happen, right? Let's see here. So it's a real hot mess because it leaves the big corporations, the big entities like, all right, they're going to rule. They're going to rule. So while you have like the moderate Democrats out there that are like, this is bad. The job numbers are bad. We were really expecting more. The leftists in this tribe, they know exactly what's going on. They're thrilled. They're thrilled. They don't want people to have jobs because you know what that means? If you have a job and you're not dependent upon the government, if you're not looking to them to help you out, you are independent. Okay. They hate independence. They don't want you independent. If you're independent, you're doing your thing. You're not dependent. Dependent means that you are like beholden to them in some way, right? My kids are dependent upon me. My kids have to, hey, pick up your room, make your bed, do your chores, feed your bearded dragon. Like they have to do that stuff in order to reap the benefits of an allowance or, you know, whatever I say, hey, you do this, I'm going to get you this. They are beholden to me. They are dependent upon me. And then I return the favor by saying, hey, okay, here's your allowance. Or, hey, you know, way to go. Let's go buy you a toy or something, you know, in order for them to do what they're supposed to be doing. They're dependent upon me. Okay. The government wants you dependent upon them because they own you. That's the goal. You're going to vote for them. You're going to do whatever they need you to do because you're dependent upon them. That's the whole strategy. That's the whole setup. It's not complex. These people that are making it complex, it's not complex, okay? If you're dependent, you're not really free. You're not really free. You're not really truly walking in liberty. You got to cut ties with anything you're depending upon and make it on your own. That's the American dream, right? The whole reason our founding fathers founded this country was to limit big government, to limit government. Democrats, leftists, they want to expand government. They want the government all up in your business. They want the government injecting you, telling you what you can and cannot say, what you can and cannot do, everything. They want all up in you, right? Like inappropriate. So that's big government. That's what the Dems and the leftists want. Okay. So it's going as planned. So don't act like, oh my gosh, they're freaking out. They're not freaking out. They're like, yeah, this is awesome. This is exactly what we want. So also, if you're on the East Coast right now, what is it? Like 45% of the East Coast fuel supply has now been impacted by the cyber attack. I don't live in the East on the East Coast. Maybe you're having a hard time finding gas because of the cyber attack. What just says to me, like,
okay, they can hack our pipelines, but they can't hack anything else. I mean, put two and two together, guys, right? Like, just think about it for a second. Because our pipelines are highly secure, right? Okay, oh, think about how much our pipelines, our fuel impacts our country. Because if you shut down pipelines, you shut down people's ability to fuel up, that means you shut down semi-trucks that are delivering food to grocery stores. You shut down, I mean, that shuts it down, right? I mean, all that is impacted because of this. Okay, so this thing should be highly secure, right? You would think like, okay, let's secure that up. Let's shore that up. It's not secure. It was able to, they were able to hack it. They're not saying exactly who it was. They're saying hearsay. It could be Russia. We don't know. I'm not going to say it's Russia. I don't know unless it's dropped the news since I've been on here about who really hacked it. I don't know. But you would think that could be secure. So that means that other things are not secure. Maybe our elections. We'll see. Also, that's going on right now. Arizona is still doing its audit, Maricopa County. There's a lawsuit taking place in Michigan. I would think that everybody out there would want to make sure that everything that we depend on, not depend on, but we rely and we hope for as a free society, elections, the ability to be mobile, our the way we transport, everything. We would hope that there's security in that, right? Like, I would hope that everyone would want things to be as secure as possible, because that just ensures liberty, right? That just ensures freedom. That just ensures that we, a democracy, well, we're not democracy, we're a constitutional republic, but the ability for people to voice what they want and for the society, you know, then to respond to that, you know, we would hope that there's security in that. We would hope that if you cast your vote, it's secure. We would hope that you know, our pipelines are also secure. We would hope that what we depend on as a society to be free, because I'm saying dependency, so there's like that catch there. But you have to now I'm mixing my words here. But what I'm trying to say is we would hope that there's security in that, and if things can be hacked, then there needs to be a deeper dive into it. Somebody says that the hack is a distraction from Arizona, the cyber hack. Could be. You know, there's a lot going on right now. So the main thing I want to discuss, and I have a few minutes to do so, is I saw this as a graphic. I saw this on Twitter, and it's a woman that said, hey, well, let's just read it. Let's look at this, okay? Israel did not exist until 73 years ago when they settled a colony that took over Palestine and they've been violently maintaining their position over this position since. If you don't know the history, here's a good primer to help you get started. So what this woman is stating here is that Israel just recently became a place, right? A state. They colonized it basically. This is absolutely false information because this woman does not know history. Okay. So let's just dive into history because we got a lot of people that are arguing about this. And I think the best thing to do is to go to, some of the oldest texts that we have, and that's the Bible. And the Bible is a historical text as well as a spiritual text to me, but it's also a historical text, a text that dates and gives a lot of this information that this woman, that can debunk what this woman said. So first of all, now you have to go back to Abraham. Abraham is the father of many nations. Abraham, it starts in Genesis with Abraham. Abraham was a descendant from Noah, and he actually, I have it all written down here. It's like this giant map I've made of like kind of the genealogy. But Abraham was a descendant of Noah. I think his father was Tahir. Oh gosh, now I can't find it. Oh yeah, the son of Terah. And Tyre was Ur of the Chaldeans. Okay, so let's look at this map really quick. And I'm sorry if you're watching when you tune in for the podcast on this, but this is the where Chaldea was. Okay, so it's not up by where Israel is today. Like down below that, you'll see Canaan. See, there's this geography of the biblical history that crosses out over it. But there's the Canaanites right there on that up against the Mediterranean Sea, if you guys can see that. Okay. So that is where Abraham actually ends up. But his father here, okay, his father and you know his ancestors are from Chaldea. Okay, Ur of the Chaldeans, okay? But eventually they end up over here on the coast next to the Mediterranean Sea, which is now-day Israel, okay? So what happens here is Abraham has an encounter with God. He gets married to Sarai. But before all this, his name is Abram, okay? Abram marries Sarai. They eventually have their names changed. He becomes Abraham after he has an encounter with God. And Sarai becomes Sarah, okay? And Abraham is told by God in Genesis 12. He goes, go to the land and I will show you. Okay, that's Genesis 12. Then you go to Genesis 12, 6. He goes, to your offspring, I will give you this land. And he specifically tells them so Abraham starts traveling and then he ends up in Canaan. Okay, and that's when God talks to Abraham and he says, I will give you this land. That's Canaan. That's modern day Israel. Right now, that is Israel. I will give you this land. And he goes, and I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. So this is where it all kind of starts, right? So Abraham comes in, and eventually Abraham he settles in this land, but then there's a battle over it for years. I mean, eventually you go into Joshua. Joshua comes and he takes Canaan. Moses wanders around in the desert forever, but eventually this is where they end up. They end up in this, what is now modern day Israel. Okay. But let's just start with the genealogy, because it's important to know this, because especially if you start arguing with somebody like this lady here that says, you know, Israel just, you know, they colonized this area. That's not true. That's not true. Because actually what is true is the Islamic faith descends from Abraham as well. And that's what people don't even talk about. Abraham. Okay, let's just talk. Okay, here we go. So Abraham has a hard time getting Sarah pregnant, his wife Sarah. So Sarah is not she's not able to get pregnant. So Sarah says to Abraham, take Hagar, my servant, and lay with her. And so Hagar lays with Abraham. She gets pregnant, and she has Ishmael. Okay, Ishmael then actually is, there's a line from Ishmael out from the Islamic world, from those that are Muslim. It starts with Ishmael. Later, Sarah is able to get pregnant and she has Isaac. If you guys remember, like back when you probably, if you went to Sunday school, you remember Abraham takes Isaac up and is going to sacrifice him. And then God speaks to him and provides a ram in the bush. And it just shows the sacrifice that Abraham was able to would make for God. So Sarah has Isaac, Hagar has Ishmael. Okay. Sarah gets jealous. She gets jealous of Hagar and Ishmael. She wants them kicked out. They get kicked out, but God still comes and he meets Hagar and Ishmael and provides for them. Okay. Now they're not out of the picture. Like as you go on in Genesis, you still see Hagar, you still see Ishmael. What happens here is Ishmael goes off and he's kind of settles his own land with his mother and all of that happens. Then you start to study the genealogy from Isaac. So Sarah has Isaac. If you're following me, I know I can be confusing. So Isaac then marries Rebecca. Okay. Rebecca gets pregnant and she has twins. She has two little boys. From the beginning when she conceives, I mean, these little babies inside of her, they're fighting. Like there's constant conflict there, right? There's constant conflict there. Well, the two babies inside of her are Esau and Jacob, okay? So Jacob's a little tricky guy. He's a little tricky. So Jacob then actually technically came out second. So Esau was the older brother. Esau was like super manly. He loved to hunt. He was just athletic, you know, outgoing. They said he was really hairy. The Bible describes him as hairy guy. And Jacob was a little bit more refined, liked to stay within the kind of the tent city that they were in, their own little tribe. Like he didn't hunt as much as Esau did, anything like that. So what happens between Jacob and Esau? Now remember, these two guys are brothers and they're always kind of battling. So Jacob one day is cooking stew. Okay, he's cooking some stew and Esau comes in. Esau's starving. Esau's like, oh my gosh, I need food. And Jacob's like, hey, you give me your birthright, I'll give you some stew. And Esau's like, yeah, whatever. Like, what does my birthright matter anyways? I'm going to die if I don't eat something like right now. So he gives his birthright to Jacob. Okay. And he eats his stew. And that's just like one of these big stories where they're like, there's like this little kind of like, Jacob's very, I would consider him very strategic, always thinking next steps ahead, moves, very calculating. He is throughout the whole Bible. And then another point, where Jacob kind of gets Esau again is, at the very end, Isaac is going to die. So Abraham's already passed on. Isaac has then had two twins. He's had Jacob and Esau. Isaac is about to die, and he says, bring Esau in. I'm going to give my blessing to him. So Rebecca, who loves Jacob more, which, as a mom, I don't know. I love all my kids the same. I really do. But Rebecca, she liked Jacob more. She just loved him more. So she says, hey, Jacob, Isaac is about to, he's going to pass on here. So we need you to go in there and act like you're Esau and get this blessing. So just so you guys know, the spoken word back during this time, it was a done deal. Sadly, in our world, it's like people lie, they cheat, they steal. Your word is nothing. It doesn't really mean anything. We've got lawyers, we've got lawsuits, people say things. But back during biblical times, your word was your word. Like that was your reputation. If you said something, it was a done deal. It was fine. It was a final thing. It was done. So Rebecca says, you got to pose as Esau and go in there and get this blessing. So they dress him up like they got like goat fur and they like put it on him and they cook up some stew. And so right now Esau's out like hunting for food for his father. He's going to come back and get this blessing. And in the meantime, Isaac goes in and he poses as Esau. Okay. So he poses as Esau and he gets the blessing from Isaac. I mean, Isaac goes all in, like your children's children will be blessed. You'll have, abundance, your cattle, your wives, all of it. He's just calling forth blessing from heaven onto Jacob and speaking it into existence because of the power of the spoken word. And Jacob receives it. Okay. In the meantime, Esau comes back. He's like, hey, dad, I got some stew for you. I'm ready for my blessing. And Isaac's like, I already blessed you. And he's like, no, you didn't. So then Esau realizes that Jacob once again has tricked him. And like, so Jacob flees. Like Jacob pretty much takes off. Okay. Jacob takes off. And he leaves and Esau kind of departs as well. He's like, Esau's just torn up that this happened. Like, this is just terrible. So Esau goes, Isaac passes on and dies. And Jacob then now goes and tries to find a wife. Sorry for going so long here. So Jacob, I'm like just regurgitating what I remember. So Jacob goes and he actually works for 14 years to get Rachel, his wife, but he's also tricked, and he's tricked into marrying a woman named Leah instead. So he marries Leah first because he's tricked, and then he ends up marrying Rachel. So he's got two wives, and he goes on and becomes very wealthy. I mean, Jacob becomes very wealthy. He becomes very successful. His tribe grows just as the blessing comes down on him, just like Isaac had spoken. It comes to pass for Jacob. Meanwhile, Esau, he goes over to where Ishmael was, who was the son of Abraham. Okay, so we're back to Abraham here. Esau goes back to where Ishmael was, and Esau marries Ishmael's daughter. That's correct. So, yes, he marries Mahalath, and she is the sister of Nabioth, the daughter of Ishmael. Okay, so that's where you tie back into the Islamic faith with Ishmael. Now you've got Esau married into that. He takes one of Ishmael's daughters and marries her. So anyways, so from here on, the conflict is just the conflict, right? I mean, you can feel it just as I tell this kind of recap. There is just conflict there, okay? And it's been since the time of Abraham. Like, there's conflict over this land. And actually, Jacob and Esau meet back up at one point, and Esau is like, we're cool. Like, just don't hate on me, kind of a thing. Let's not hate each other. So it's been a back and forth struggle since the time of Abraham. So if somebody comes at you and they're like, Israel came and they took this land. That is not true. All of these people have resided in this land along Canaan, where Canaan was, since the time of Abraham, since like way hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago. So it's very important to note that and to know the history of it. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's kind of my recap of it. Also, at one point, Jacob, who ran off and he ended up marrying Rachel and Leah, two ladies. He's got the two ladies. He ends up actually wrestling with God, and he changes his name. His name changes to Israel. Okay, so that's where Israel actually started. That's the whole recap. So let's just really quick go through it. Abraham and Sarah married. Sarah cannot have a baby. Excuse me. So she has Hagar sleep with Abraham. Hagar sleeps with Abraham and she has Ishmael. Okay. Ishmael then has, Ishmael, that's where the whole Islamic thing starts, right? Ishmael then goes and starts his own tribe. Eventually, the grandson, because Sarah has Isaac, and then Isaac has Jacob, and then Jacob actually ends up kind of messing around with his twin brother, and they get an argument. His twin brother Esau leaves and goes back to the whole Islamic world that's just starting out there, and he marries Ishmael's daughter. Is this hard? I know it's so hard to follow, and I'm probably explaining it horribly. So Abraham and Hagar have Ishmael. Abraham and Sarah have Isaac. Isaac marries Rebekah, and she has twins, Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau constantly battling, constantly fighting. Esau then circles back and goes over to the Ishmael where they are and marries Ishmael's daughter. So there's been conflict there for years, is what is basically I'm trying to say. So when somebody says, you know, I don't get it, I don't get it, that's kind of the recap. So you might have to listen to this over and over again. And I'm sorry that I'm not as smooth at telling this as, you know, other biblical scholars are. I am not a biblical scholar, as biblical scholars might be, because I'm not one. But I think it's important because when you see stuff like what this lady said, you know, Israel came and colonized this land. That's not true. They've been there since Abraham. And actually both the Muslim world and the Jewish Christian world stem off of Abraham. So it's a battle that's been taking place for years. There's conflict there. What I will say about this is God is not surprised at any of this. This is all written, right? This is all. What's so cool about the Bible is what was spoken years ago. You can go back and see, okay, why things are taking place the way they are now. And then you can also flip forward into the New Testament and you can open the book of Revelations and say, oh my gosh, this is stuff that's coming into pass right now, that's happening right now, that, you know, John spoke about on the island of Patmos thousands of years ago. That's what's so fascinating about all of this. Also, I mean, Daniel and the Old Testament spoke about stuff that we're seeing happening now. So I highly encourage you to dive into just reading the Bible just for that. I mean, if you're not, I'm not pushing my faith or anything on you, although I will tell you it's changed my world. And I highly recommend Jesus because he came and took care of all of this. So while you got the Islamic world fighting with the Jewish world and all this happening, Jesus shows up on the scene, okay? And that's where freedom comes in and liberty comes in and all of this stuff is kind of like, if you go to Jesus, like it's resolved. It's resolved under Jesus. So, but that's where a lot of this arguing takes place. So now you know, all right? Now you know. Comments. Anybody comments? Because I know it's a long one and it's a lot to kind of take in because you're like, oh my gosh, Rachel, you just rambled for a good 30 minutes. I have no idea what you just said. Basically what I said is all of this stems from Abraham, okay? And from the Islamic point of view, let's see here. What did I write down? you know, the people of the in the Muslim world, they revere Jerusalem as their third most holy city, right? So because there's a mosque there in Jerusalem that's very sacred to them. And so they want that, you know, they want Jerusalem. And, you know, the Jewish faith is special there because of all the historical place that stems from Abraham all the way to Moses, to David, to, you know, first and second, I mean, second Kings, all Samuel, all of that stuff is also in the same region. And then you got Jesus who came, you know, and he's, you know, from, you know, Nazareth or Bethlehem, you know, and Bethlehem area. So, all of that, you know, it's a hot spot and it's very personal to a lot of people of different faiths. And the most important to the Islam is Mecca. That's where, you know, their prophet was born. But, you know, they still want Jerusalem too. So there's just this constant conflict. It's very important to kind of know that Israel wasn't just recently colonized. It's the people of the Jewish faith that stem from Abraham have been there for thousands of years. Just like the people from the Islamic faith that extended, you know, came from the Ishmael line, they've been there for thousands of years as well. And my hope and prayer is that we can have peace. We can have peace in the Middle East. And why we're not seeing that right now, I really believe it's because they think that they can get away with what they're getting away with. They think that they can, you know, send rockets to Israel and no one's going to do anything about it. And sadly, we've got a very weak guy in the White House right now. I don't even think he's said anything about it, which says so much. And I remember making like a chart, not a chart, but just listing off things that would happen if Joe gets in. And one of them was, you know, Israel. Israel is it's special to the people of the Jewish faith. It's also special to the people of the Christian faith, because, you know, God clearly says in Genesis, I will bless those that bless you and I will curse those that curse you. And he's speaking to Israel. Israel in that. And so that's why we stand with Israel. That's why we unite with Israel. It's because of what was spoken in Genesis and all that stems from it. We cannot turn our backs on Israel. We have to stand with Israel because that's who God, has called forth blessing. So that's kind of what my whole point of this is, because I was like, you know what? I don't know if a lot of people know, you know, Abraham and Ishmael and then Jacob and Esau and then, you know, Esau going to marry Ishmael's daughter. Like, I don't think they know. And the conflict that started way back then. So, you know, this is something that's been around for years, and you kind of got to know the background. So that's what I intended to do, but I don't know if I was able to successfully do it. So we can talk more about this another time. But I just kind of wanted to give you guys a breakdown. Keep praying for Israel. Keep praying for peace in the Middle East. Keep praying, you know, but I honestly, like, if I'm going to be completely real with you, I will pray for that. And I will pray that, but at the same time, like, we have to be aware as Christians of the time we're living in. And I remember saying to my mom, like, it was a couple weeks ago, I was like, it's nuts. Like, it's crazy. Like, all that we've seen happen in the last, you know, since Biden got into the White House, like, it's crazy. And I was like, it would be really crazy. I mean, I kind of have I'd be even more alarmed if stuff started happening in the Middle East. I said that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I literally said that. And now, like, what? 2-3 weeks later, we've got, Hamas, bombing Israel and this whole fight ensuing again. And so I was like, you know, just keep alert, be alert, be watchful, because Israel is a pivotal thing, in Revelations. I mean, just read Revelations and you can kind of see what happens with Israel, what happens with Jerusalem, how things unfold there. And if we continue in the way we're going, it's going to get really interesting. So I'm hoping, though, that we have peace, that things calm down and, you know, this doesn't escalate. So that's kind of my take on the whole thing, where I stand. I pray for peace, but also at the same time, I want to be vigilant. I want to be aware of the times we're living in, and I don't want to be ignorant to what's happening around us, what's happening in our world. So I pray to God that Biden comes out and stands strong with Israel. And if he doesn't, then we kind of know where we are. We kind of know where we are as Christians. We kind of know where we are, with a lot of stuff. So that's kind of what I wanted to say. So let's see here. That's about it for me. I'm going to go get my daughter from pre-kindergarten. She's finishing up there. So I got to run, but I just wanted to get on and kind of give you guys that recap. I'll upload this as a podcast so people that, you know what, you want to be able to do stuff. Like I, as a mom, I'm listening to podcasts, but I'm doing like 50 other things. So, it helps to kind of just have it in your ear and you can get stuff done. So with that said, God bless you guys. Pray for this country. Pray for peace. Pray that, you know, truth comes out. I'm still standing and believing for truth. I really am. I'm still standing. I'm still believing. I'm still thanking God for what has been hidden in darkness will come to light. In Jesus' name. My goodness, I just feel like tongue twisted today. Isaac, we just talked about you. If he doesn't stand with Israel, I hate to say it, it's the end of America. Well, yeah, I mean, really, that's very profound to say that, Isaac. And I pretty much agree with that, because I will bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. I mean, God's word is even more done deal than Abraham's and Isaac's when they would give their blessings. What God speaks comes to pass. What God says is a promise. It's a truth. It's an absolute. So yes, we got to stand with Israel. Anyways. All right. And I keep talking. Okay. God bless you guys. Share this and we'll talk soon. Bye guys.